Welcome to the We Like to Say We're Experts podcast, where we go over noteworthy news, pop culture, and everything in between. And now, your hosts, Evan and Nicole.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another wonderful Wizarding World week here at We Like to Say We're Experts. Myself, Evan, and my lovely host,
Nicole.
And we're here bringing you two great landmarks. We're going to have the fourth installment of our Harry Potter series.
Woo!
We're going through the eight movies. And this also happens to be our 40th episode.
Yes!
So that's, pretty good coincidence. Or maybe it was planned. You'll never know.
Four and four.
Four and 40.
Yeah.
Four going on 40.
So as usual, we will start off with a couple fun news stories. So, of course, you guys know we love cats. We have a cat.
Big fan.
Ben, he has his own Instagram. We post cute pictures on there. Anyways, so this story actually happened in the United Kingdom. There was a, virtual panel, I guess, for lack of a better word, for the members of Digital Culture, Media, and Sports Committee, and an MP in the UK, his name is John Nicholson. He was talking about the use of subtitles on children's TV, and his cat, I think his cat's name is Rojo, decided, Dad, I'm just gonna show my tail. So, all of a sudden, you just see this tail, do-do-do-do, Jaws, do-do-do-do, moving into the screen. He, felt bad and apologized, but it's really cute. We're actually looking at a picture of his cat right now.
Yeah, it's really funny.
He looks like Ben.
Right, yeah, he's the spitting image of Ben. And yeah, it's really funny. This MP was super serious and going over all this important stuff, and then only the cat's tail just pops up in the middle of the video.
Hey.
He's like, hey, everybody, I'm here.
Yeah. So we'll in the show notes below, we will link this news story. So you can watch the video and see a picture of this adorable cat. Well, and for our second news story of the day, do you remember the 90s PBS show Wishbone, Evan?
Yeah, I never really watched it, though.
That's offensive. So I was obsessed with PBS and, PBS Kids, and Wishbone was one of my favorites. Side note, I had a Wishbone stuffed animal that I took with me everywhere. And he would get, so worn down and dirty because, I literally bring the stuffed animal anywhere. To the point, at one point, he got a hole in him and you could see, the material on the inside. We had to get him fixed. I brought this thing with me everywhere as a little kid. I really liked Wishbone.
I feel like I'm going to say something controversial.
What?
I don't want to cause a rift between us, but Wishbone was for nerds.
I don't care. I'm a nerd.
I'm also a nerd.
So, you're not offending me.
When I was a kid, though, I was like, I don't want to read. I don't want to see, fantastical dog stories. I want to watch Arthur, because it's a cartoon. And Magic School Bus.
Listen, this was the cutest Jack Russell Terrier ever, and he would adapt, popular stories. I think he did, Romeo and Juliet, maybe, stories like that, but he would, do it for a younger audience, and I don't know. It was just really adorable. I really loved it. So, I guess Variety is reporting that The Adventures of Wishbone will be back in form for a live-action film. It's a partnership between Universal and Mattel, I think, which owns, the toy rights to the dog.
Really?
Yeah, so there's not too many details now, but it's going to be coming, and I'm looking at a picture of Wishbone now when he did Sherlock Bones.
Oh, I've seen that picture of him a lot,
instead of Sherlock Holmes. He's adorable. He's
cute.
The cutest dog. He's telling you stories. I learned a lot about these. I remember, another side note. So, he would do, Romeo and Juliet or, Sherlock Bones for Sherlock Holmes, I think. And then I didn't realize these were, non-Wishbone stories, real stories. So then I was, I got older and I, you learn about Romeo and Juliet. I was like, oh, that's not a Wishbone story.
No,
actually a book.
He based the book off of Wishbone's story.
I mean, I know that's not true, but, I just didn't know. I learned a lot of literature from Wishbone, poems and stuff like that. So I think that's one of the reasons I started getting into reading a lot as, a kid. And I used to read Harry Potter books, which is our topic for this episode again. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, Evan, why did you put your name in the Goblet of Fire?
I didn't. It wasn't me. I gotta go. Welcome back, everyone. I hope you have your popcorn. Hope you have your Birdie Bots every flavored beans, because today we're going to be going over the single greatest tournament in all of wizardry. Wizarding history?
Sure.
This is the big one. Yeah. This is the Goblet of Fire. The, let me back up. The reward is the Goblet of Fire.
No. Yeah. The reward is the cup.
That's the goblet. Oh, yeah. The entry. Somebody wasn't paying close attention.
No.
They're both the chalice-shaped object.
They look nothing alike.
They look, yeah, the goblet is much
like a
bigger.
Cup?
And the cup looks like a cup.
And the chalice has, like, the handles, like, on the side, like how you hoist it up.
Well, you know, we got through 3 movies successfully before I failed at Harry Potter.
And
so I take this as a win.
And here's the end of the series, everybody. Have a good week.
Yeah, we're going to go back to the Quad Wizard Tournament.
So, the movie, this is actually, I think, the first movie that doesn't have the Dursleys in it. We didn't see Harry and the Dursleys at all.
Yeah, they just skip right over him.
Yeah, so we see Harry, like, before, because he has that nightmare at the beginning of the movie. So
yeah.
It's, like, implied he's home, but we don't see.
No, I don't think so. No, he has the nightmare and he wakes up next to Ron.
Oh, okay, so, yep.
Oh, I'm not the only one that failed this movie,
Anyways, he has a nightmare, because this is important. So he has a nightmare where there's an older man who ends up being killed because he... So they explain this more in the book, so I'm going to kind of explain it how the book explains it and the differences. In the book...
Can I take a stab at it?
Yeah.
All right, this is the deal. All right. Harry Potter and Voldemort are linked on a spiritual level because Voldemort's a failure and backfired himself. That's as far as I got. It's because they're linked. I don't know why he was, like, looking through the view of the groundskeeper that was, like, 70 years old.
So in the book, they kind of, like, I'm doing this from memory, but if I remember correctly in the book, so the old man's name is Frank.
I think he's,
like, the caretaker of the house that the Riddles used to live in, like, Tom and his dad and, like, the Riddle family.
Okay.
And he lives, like, in a groundskeeper's house, like, on the property, but he hears noise, like, in the main house. So one night, like, he thinks it's, like, intruders or something, but he goes, and that's when he sees Voldemort and Peter Pettigrew, which we see in the movie, like, kill him. But in the movie, in these scenes of, like, the nightmares, we see Barty Crouch, played by David Tennant, Barty Crouch Jr., is in these, like, nightmares. But in the book, he's not there. Like, we know.
Really?
We know he escapes from Azkaban eventually, but we don't see him in these scenes. So that was kind of added on.
The difference. It makes sense for the movie.
Yeah.
When you're looking at it, because it helps with some clues. This is a secret tool that might be useful later.
There's a lot of, like, side plots that they took out of this book. I guess I was reading up about this, and originally the director wanted to make this movie two movies. Which obviously they ended up doing for the final one, but they were like, we can't do that.
Honestly, I could see this one being 2 movies. Yeah. It was really good. I think the total runtime was like 2 hours and 37 minutes or something like that. And it's like fast paced. It's like go, go, go.
Yeah.
Like, I can definitely see them stretching it out. I don't know if they should stretch it out, but, like, I think there's enough there for 2.5 hours, maybe even 2 hour movies.
Yeah. Cause... There's like a lot of, like, I'm not going to go through all of them, but there's like a lot of side plots that just get, like, cut out.
Yeah.
So after the nightmares, we see Harry attending the Quidditch World Cup between Ireland and Bulgaria with the Weasleys, Hermione, and that's when we first meet Cedric Diggory and his dad Amos. I don't know if they mention his name in the movie, but his name is Amos Diggory.
Mr. Weasley might have said it once in the beginning, and that was it, but I can't recall.
Yeah. So this is another thing that they kind of, like, don't do in the movie, but I understand, like, why they don't do it for time. So in the book... in the movie, they never show the Quidditch World Cup game. Like, they show them in the scenes, like, the game's gonna start, and then they fast forward to, like, now the Death Eaters are attacking. But in the book, there's this, like, subplot where the twins, Fred and George, like, bet with this guy. Like, they make a bet with another person named Ludwig, if I remember correctly. That, I think the bet is that Ireland will win, but Crum, who plays for Bulgaria, will still catch the snitch ending the game, but he doesn't have enough points to win. It's, like, a really specific, like, bet, and they end up winning. So it's, like, a weird, like, side plot that doesn't get mentioned. But, yeah, so in the movie, they just cut straight to, essentially, like, these men in masks and hoods, like, attacking the camp where they're all staying.
Yeah, they just show up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And then they're like, yep, we're going to like kill everybody or something.
And this is where we see a man who will later find out is Barty Crouch Jr. He summons the Death Mark, which is the mark.
The snake.
Yeah,
the
and
sky.
It's the mark of Voldemort. So that happens. And then we meet Barty Crouch Sr., but just Barty Crouch. He's like, Harry, you cast the Death Mark. Like, who did it? It must have been this boy. And Harry's like, nah, it was this guy.
It's gotta be. No, yeah, I love that logic. It's gotta be this 14-year-old boy.
Yeah.
That's a student at Hogwarts that defeated Voldemort. He's the one that did it. It was him, everybody.
And what's funny, if I remember, again, trying to remember this correctly, there's actually another subplot that gets cut out of this like, scene where Barty Crouch Sr. has a house elf named Winky. And Winky gets caught with a wand that they found, like, when they did a test on the wand, made the death mark. But that wand was Barty Crouch Jr.'s. Like, she was helping him hide, I think. Okay. So, like, they find her, and he ends up sacking her, being like, I don't want you as a house elf anymore. And she ends up getting hired by Hogwarts. It's, like, a weird side plot that they, like, they just completely cut her character
out. I'm kind
of
glad they cut that out.
I understand why they cut these small things out. Yeah. So then we go to Hogwarts and Albus Dumbledore. He introduces two main things at the beginning. One, we have Mad-Eye Moody, as the new Defense Against the Arts teacher. The Dark Arts teacher.
I think you mean technology sound effect Moody.
Oh yeah, when his eye was like...
Every single scene they do these, or every single time they like do something with his eye, they'll have like this weird little brief scene of his eye like zooming in on someone, yeah. Which they did when he first showed up, and it has this like, it's like the most 2000s technology,
it's like
enhanced sound. Yeah, it's super goofy.
Now we're gonna say the real Mad-Eye Moody, because as we'll find out, this is not the real one, but the real Mad-Eye Moody, he was like an ex-Auror, which they briefly mentioned in this movie. What is
it? They hunt the dark wizards.
Yeah, they're essentially like dark wizard police. So he no longer does that because in their eyes, like, Voldemort's gone, so all these people are gone. And then he also, meaning Dumbledore, announces that the Triwizard Tournament, which is a magical tournament between three schools, is going to take place at Hogwarts this year. You have to be 17 to compete.
That's a new rule, by the way.
That's a new rule because, like, people... Like... So they say this in the book. The reason they did this rule is because, like, a lot of people were dying in, like, the Triwizard Tournament. They didn't want, like, kids dying, so, like, they're considering, like, 17 adults. So that's why. They gloss over that in the movie, but...
You're 17, you can
die. You can
die.
Yeah, basically, like, they kind of get into more than the book.
Yeah, the things that they have them do in the Triwizard Tournament is, like, pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. So this is where we meet the Durmstrang School, which is from Eastern Europe. We meet the Beaubaxons Academy of Magic from France. Now... In the movie, you see, like, Durmstrang is all boys, and,
Beaubaxon
is all girls. That's not actually how it is in the books. They're, like Hogwarts, where they're mixed. But for some reason, because, as we're gonna see, Fleur Delacour is the woman selected to represent Beaubaxons, and Victor Krum, who was that Quidditch player in the World Cup, is represented to, be from Durmstrang. So they kind of, like, they're, like... Well, boy and a girl. I think that's why they did it.
Yeah,
but, like, they're mixed gender schools.
It was definitely to make them very different from each other and very different from Hogwarts. Because
yeah.
If they're all mixed gender, like, it would be hard to follow, even
yeah.
With the outfits in some scenes.
I think, like, I understand why they did it. Yeah. So who's going to represent Hogwarts is the big
Cedric
thing.
Cedric Diggory.
So Cedric
Spoiler.
Diggory gets pulled, like, his name appears. But then, after they're celebrating the three... A fourth piece of paper,
Full
like,
book.
Flies out.
Can I? I'm going to set this scene.
Okay.
All right. Dumbledore is pulling the names out. He gets three. Supposed to be three. Triwizard. Tri means three. Wizard means wizard. All done. He's, like, walking away from the goblet. Now the goblet starts, like, freaking out. Shoots out another name. Dumbledore is like, what the hell is this? Like, I don't want the... Like, what's happening?
Yeah.
What are you doing, goblet? Why are you giving me another name? We already got three.
Yeah.
Says, surprise, surprise. Harry Potter, who's the center of all the books and the movie. And, of course, he would be included somehow.
Yeah.
So, Dumbledore's pissed.
And this is, like, the most, like, meme-worthy, like, meme out of this. Because in the book, when this whole thing happens and the teachers are talking, it literally says, Dumbledore asks calmly, like, Harry, why'd you put your name? And in the movie, he's like, Harry, why'd you put your name in the Goblet of Fire?
Harry, why'd you put
and
your name in,
like,
the Goblet of Fire?
He's, like, shaking him against
it's
the
really
wall. But,
funny.
Like... I don't know why they did that, but in the book, it's, like, a very calm scene. But the ministry official, Barty Crouch, senior, he basically is like, well, there's this oath that they agree to.
It's a binding contract.
Yeah, so, like Harry has to do it.
There's a lot of things that are really sketch about this whole Goblet of Fire nonsense. Yeah. The first off is, like, you get picked, you can't quit.
No.
But also, maybe you can in the last event. That's very unclear, based on what I saw. And also, yeah, like, you only do this if you are ready to die, basically.
Because I mean, yeah, you're taking a lot of risks.
Hey, you're locked in. You can't leave.
Yeah.
You gotta do, like, these three insane tasks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Barty Crouch is like, kids, you know, this 14-year-old kid shouldn't be here. Oh, is what it is.
Yeah, pretty much. Can't stop it. So there's three tasks, so we'll go over the first two first. So the first one is each champion has to retrieve a golden egg guarded by a dragon. And Harry, because he's known for being a really good flyer on his broom, he ends up using his wand to, like, Accio wand or whatever that thing is.
Accio wand,
yeah.
Fireball.
So then he can, like, fly away, get the dragon away, and end up getting the egg. And then the second challenge is there's this, like, underwater lake on the property of Hogwarts that has mermaids in it.
Oh, this is, like, the most nonsense challenge. It's like, all right, you gotta, first off, you got that egg.
Yep.
You gotta figure out how to use it to get a clue.
Because when you first open it, it's, like, screaming.
Yeah, it's yelling at you. But if you put it underwater in the fifth floor prefect's bathroom,
yeah,
it suddenly works, Cedric Diggory knew. We'll find out more about that later. But yeah, then it's like, oh, you get there. And you supposedly you're prepared for it, and then Dumbledore is like, yeah, something was stolen from each of you, and the wizards put it at the bottom of the lake there. And then you get down, there's people in the lake! They stole people, your friends!
Yeah. So Harry ends up, you know, to go through this challenge, Neville Longbottom gives him Gillyweed, which, when you eat it, it gives you gills, like, very name. But, this is actually a difference from the book, because in the book, Winky and Dobby are working at Hogwarts, so Dobby comes back. He's in the book. And, like, him and Winky are friends, and they actually give him the Gillyweed, but because they erase the House Elf subplot, Neville, we know that he likes plants, and, like, that's a thing in the lore.
That was a good fit.
Yeah, like, it made sense.
Yeah, it goes with this character.
Yeah,
really
so he ended up being, like, the Gillyweed deliverer, I guess.
It's really funny because they set it up in, like, the first class with Mad-Eye Moody. He's like, Neville, you're experienced in herbology. And then later this comes up, and it's like, oh, of course, Neville.
They're, like, dropping the hints to let you know that, like, he would know about Gillyweed. So he ends up, they get through the first two, and then between the first two, real quickly, we'll go over that there was the Yule Ball subplot.
Oh, I hate the subplot.
Why?
It's so stupid.
Like, the reason that I personally like it is because you're seeing these kids go from, like, kids to teenagers, and, like, I think it's more obvious in the book. Like, we know that Harry likes Cho, but she ends up going with Cedric Diggory. But in the movie, we see that Hermione goes with Victor Crumb, but she's really upset that Ron didn't invite her. And in the book, it's, like, more implied that, like, this is when she starts liking Ron. And she's like, Ron, why didn't you, like, ask me? Like, if you just asked me, I would have said yes. I think that's, like, kind of seen in the movie, but not as much. So,
I think in the movie, it's just kind of, like, cringy.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, you know, it's, like, quintessential awkward teens.
Yeah.
And then there's this really funny one after, like, the first dance, and it's, like, Ron and Harry sitting with their dates, and their dates are, like, super fed up with them. I thought that was funny.
Yeah. Because they're like, we want to dance, and the boys are like, nah.
You're like, you losers.
Yeah.
We want to dance.
I think it's, yeah, it's like a transitional, like, they're not little kids anymore. Like, they're moving on to being, like, preteens, teens, and, like, all that stuff. So, it's interesting. But we're going to go into the final task. So, how would you describe the final task, Evan?
It's a trap. So, this is my...
It's a trap!
This is my thing. It's a maze. And at the center, or not necessarily the center, Mad-Eye Moody put the cup in somewhere, okay?
Yep.
There's a few things about this. There's a cup in a maze.
Yep.
You need to get in the maze. One of the first things Dumbledore says is if any time you want to be done, you know, shoot red flare in the air.
Yep.
So, like, you can quit.
Yeah.
It was never mentioned before that you can quit and maybe not die from a dragon or maybe not drown to death or get sucked down by a mermaid. But you can, in fact, give up.
On this one.
If it was me, I would have done that immediately. I'm not going in no spooky maze. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
You go in the maze. So, another thing that I mentioned while we're watching this that kind of bothered me is Dumbledore specifically says... There's nothing to fear in there, but you might not come back the way you went in.
Like, you can go crazy.
Like, you can go crazy, you can go mad. And I'm going to take a little bit of umbrage, not Dolores umbrage, but I'm going to take regular umbrage with that, because the bushes, like, suck you into the ground in some spots. There's, yeah, what's her face?
Fleur. It's like Fleur.
Fleur, yeah. I feel bad for Fleur. Fleur is like 0 for 0 in, yeah, Triwizard Tournament. And she's the first one to go. She's dragged into a bush by the roots, and like, yeah, it looks like she's going to die. So Harry is very polite and sends up a Fleur for her. Crumb has like a charm put on him, so he's just crazy pants, yeah, and going after Harry. And then it's up to, of course, the Hogwarts kids, because Hogwarts is the best. So Cedric and Harry. Harry almost leaves Cedric for dead, which that would have been
that was
bad.
Different in the book. If I remember, if I remember correctly, it was the opposite. Like, Harry was the one that got entangled, and Cedric saved him. I'm like 75% sure it was different in the book.
Can't do that in the movies. People love Harry.
Yeah.
I could have seen that. Yeah. Way. But no, and then of course, very politely. So the winner of the Triwizard Tournament is. So this is another thing that's a little unclear.
Okay.
There's the first event.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then you get the clue to the second event.
Mm-hmm.
They mention nothing but the clue.
Yeah.
And the second event, they have standings all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Cedric's now first because he was the first one up. Harry would have been last. Fleur, like, quit because she was drowning. But then Harry's now second because he saved Fleur's person and his person. And now, all of a sudden, the only thing that matters is if you touch the cup. Well, actually, I'm going to take that back. I guess it makes sense. Because if you were, based on your standing, is your head start into the,
yeah,
mass. So that makes a little bit of sense. But still, the only thing you need to do is just touch this cup. You got to touch it. Just touch the cup. You're done. You win.
Yeah.
Your tribe was a champion. And now there's two champions.
Well.
Well, briefly. Very, yeah, briefly. So,
it's a portkey.
It's a portkey, which is really funny because they made sure everybody knew what a portkey was in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah. Like, when they went to the Quidditch
the
World
Wizard
Cup.
Yeah. They touch a boot and the boot flies in there.
Yeah.
It turns out anything can be a portkey if it's magical enough. So,
yeah.
Yeah, this cup, support key, and it brings you to a graveyard.
Brings you back to that house I mentioned in the beginning, where, like,
was it
that was the same thing, because if you notice it on the graves, it said, like, riddled. I think they were,
yeah,
buried at their house.
Oh, it's like a graveyard on the ground.
Yeah,
that
so, like, bring
sense.
You back to, like, where that was. So it brings you back, and we hear Peter Pettigrew talking with, like, Voldemort's, like,
baby.
Yeah,
baby
he's like
Voldemort.
A slime baby,
yeah,
almost.
He's like a weird. He looks like an alien.
Yeah.
Aliens almost.
And they hear that Cedric is there, and this is like the one line from the book in the movie I remember. I think I said it before they said it. I was like, kill the spare, because that's what he says. He's like, kill the spare, because he's like, we don't need Cedric. So Cedric dies.
I feel so bad for Cedric. He's smart, he's kind, he's a good wizard, and then he's just like, he's domed. He's just like,
yeah,
oh, you're dead.
Yeah.
Sorry, buddy. Wrong,
yeah,
place, wrong time.
They're just like, bye. So he kills him, and then Peter Pettigrew essentially, like, disables Harry, so they need...
He ties him to a statue, essentially.
Yeah, so they need... He puts Voldemort in, like, a pot, like a, what do you call, like a...
He dumps him in a cauldron.
Cauldron, I was thinking the word.
Was it bone of the father?
Of the father. Then he has to donate, he chops off his hand, Peter Pettigrew.
Flesh of
the
minion
and
whatever.
Then he gives blood of Harry Potter, so he, like, cuts his wrist. If you notice, he cuts it in the spot that the Death Eater marks would always be.
Mm-hmm.
That's very symbolic. So then Voldemort comes back. In the book, they, like, talk about how Voldemort comes back naked and they have to robe him, but when Voldemort comes back in the movie, he's reborn with a robe.
Yeah, it's really funny.
Yeah.
Like, the cauldron explodes, and it looks like the cauldron turns into his robe.
Yeah.
Because, of course, they're not going to have...
And then Peter Pettigrew gives Voldemort back his wand that was saved from 14 years ago, and then he also calls, like, any of the remaining Death Eaters. So this is kind of more explored in the book than it was the movie, but, like... Voldemort's pissed that when he calls the Death Eaters, like, 5 of them show up. Like, there used to be dozens and dozens, but
yeah,
they're either, like, dead, in jail, or they've abandoned him.
Yeah.
So, like, really, or even when they come, they're like, how come you didn't, like, we see,
I like them.
Malfoy, Crabbe, and Goyle's parents.
Yeah, I was just
gonna
say, it's really funny, it's like, yeah, Crabbe, Goyle, and then
Malfoy.
Lucius, and it's like,
but he, like,
okay,
shames them. He's like, Peter Pettigrew is the only one that, like,
but he also
came
shames
back.
Pettigrew. He's like,
yeah,
Pettigrew came back not out of servitude, but out of fear.
Yeah.
Dumb.
So he's kind of, like, mad, but then he ends up, he wants to kill Harry, essentially. He's like, Harry, let's duel. Now, this is important. It's kind of, like, glossed over a little bit. Dumbledore names the spell Priori and Cantum, if we remember at the end. Now, what happened, because this, I forgot about this, but then I kind of remembered it after. So when they do the duel in this movie, what happens is, I think Voldemort's wand, like, something happens where it backfires, and because it backfired, it shows the last spell that he did. And the last spell that wand did was kill Harry's parents. So that's why Harry sees, like, the...
Is it true?
Yeah.
I thought Voldemort killed the groundskeeper, though.
No, it was Peter Pettigrew that killed the groundskeeper.
Are you sure?
I'm 100% sure.
Cause
I'm 100%.
At least Voldemort
was
movie,
like a... No, it was Peter Pettigrew.
Voldemort's like, move out of the way so I can give him a proper greeting. So it's it's definitely not Pettigrew that killed the groundskeeper.
I don't think it's Voldemort, though, because his wand, when it did the last spell, it was him killing... We're going to have to look it up, but how can the prior...
Got a challenge here. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe the movie slipped, but I'm really positive because otherwise this spell wouldn't work. Like, this effect wouldn't have happened then. You know what I mean? Like, it would have shown that old guy. Maybe Barty Crouch killed
the old guy
Junior?
Showed up too, though.
He did?
Out of the wand, yeah.
Oh, maybe yeah. Everyone started showing up.
Out of the wand, it was at least Harry's parents and the old guy, and I think there was
okay, so then
else.
Maybe that makes sense, that it's starting to show, like, all the last... Okay, so that kind of makes sense, but Harry ends up, like, getting his parents', like, love is protecting him again.
Ghost love.
Yeah, so he ends up, like, being able to escape. He grabs the portkey and he goes back to Hogwarts.
Can we back up for a sec?
Yeah.
This is, like, terrifying. You're a 14-year-old boy. You're fighting the King of the Dark that you thought you destroyed. Like, this dark wizard nonsense was supposed to be over
yeah.
with. And then the only way you can live is if you trust the ghost that came out of a wand that says stop casting
and
that spell. But it's
though.
Ridiculous.
I know.
It's ludicrous.
It's, okay, but it's also like magic in a movie.
But it's like the only thing keeping him alive is just trying to expelliarmus Voldemort. And then he's like, ghost, don't do it. Super runaway.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Okay. All
right.
Yeah. So when he goes back, he ends up bringing Cedric's
this
body
was
back.
The saddest scene.
And Cedric Diggory's dad is like, my boy,
boy. It's really sad because so they come back and everybody's cheering because it's over. And then it's
they
like,
realize Cedric's dead.
They're like, wait a sec. Also, nobody questions why they were just suddenly in the middle of the stadium again and not.
I think maybe the maze closed up. Like, I don't know.
That's unclear.
Yeah, I don't know. So, basically, this movie wraps up where Mad-Eye Moody ends up grabbing Harry. He's like, let's just go back to my office. Which is like, you don't understand why, but then when you realize why, because Barty Crouch Jr. is Mad-Eye Moody. He's
so
been Polyjuice Potion.
This whole movie, I was picking up on the clues, but I wasn't going in the right direction, and I forgot since I read it. I was like, why is he drinking moonshine out of his flask?
I was like, it's
why,
not.
What's in that trunk? I bet that trunk's important.
Yeah, they like drop things.
Yeah, so he drank a Polyjuice Potion the entire time to look like Mad-Eye Moody, and Mad-Eye Moody was just in the trunk.
Yeah, so Barty Crouch Jr. as Alistair Moody basically is like, fuck, like Voldemort didn't kill him. So, like, I have to take him back. I think he's probably planning on killing him. But then Dumbledore, McGonagall, and Snape just, like, burst in.
For no reason.
And the Polyjuice Potion wears off. They realize it's Barty Crouch Jr. And I think he ends up going back to Azkaban, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And then the movie ends where... And this is kind of, like... I keep saying gloss over, but this is really mentioned more in the book. So Dumbledore reveals to the students, like, hey, Voldemort is back and he killed Cedric.
Oh, yeah.
But the Ministry of Magic is basically like, oh, no. Like, they just wanted to basically, like, pretend it didn't happen.
Fudge is dumb.
And that's, like, gonna segue into the fifth, like, movie really quick. Like, you're gonna see, like, Ministry of Magic versus, like, the Hogwarts and Dumbledore. Like, Ministry of Magic is like, no, it's fine. Like, we're gonna pretend it didn't happen. But Dumbledore's like, no, I'm not gonna lie. Like, this, I want to protect people.
That's
like, this is what happened.
That's the most ridiculous thing. That's why I like Dumbledore. He's like really good as a leader, and he's like, yeah, you know, they don't want you to know this, but it's gonna be really shitty.
Yeah,
in a little bit here.
One thing I forgot to mention, I think it was before the final challenge or task, I guess. So we have to mention the pensieve because this is really important.
Pensive?
So Dumbledore calls it a pensieve, and in the book, I think it's pronounced differently. It could be pensive or pensieve. I don't know. But it basically, it's like a bowl of water that keeps your memories.
Hey, you suck your thoughts out. And you
with your wand. Them in. Yeah. In the pensieve, Harry goes back to basically like when all the Death Eaters were being rounded up, like on trial, and we find out that the Durmstrang head guy, his last name is like Karkaroff or something. He's a Death Karkaroff. Eater.
Yeah. Somebody mentioned that earlier, too.
Yeah, they made a joke, like, he was a former Death Eater.
Yeah, they're like, haha, bad man. Yeah. And then they find this little scene. I like this scene a lot. Yeah. Because, like, Ministry of Magic looks like shit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he comes up out of the ground in the middle in a jail cell, and then is like, oh, it was, I'll give you names if you let me free. It was like so-and-so, so-and-so, and Barty Crouch's son.
Yeah, basically, like, outs his son. A couple other things that I like about this scene is... One, he mentions that Barty Crouch Jr. is the one that tortured Neville's parents. Because we don't learn that until now. Like, Neville's always lived with his grandmother in the book. We don't know why. So, and also explains when Mad-Eye Moody was showing the torture carts, why Neville was, like, so upset by it. Because that's what happened to his parents.
Oh, yeah.
So that's important. And I think, what else was it? There's
David Tennant's so rude. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah, he knew. And then another... Right? And then another important part is when, what's that guy's name? Igor Karkaroff? Yeah.
Karkaroff, I think.
When, after the final task, when Voldemort is back, he's showing Snape the mark on his arm because Death Eaters always have that mark. And when it's touched by Voldemort, it's supposed to, like, call them. So, like, it wouldn't, basically, like, their skin would be blank. And it only comes, like, when Voldemort's back. Mm. So he still had that on his arm, even though he's not a Death Eater anymore. So that's important because that mark is going to come back, like, in the future. So I just wanted to mention those two things real quick because I think in the 5th and 6th and 7th, those things come back more into play.
Good enough.
Yeah. But I mean, that's all I have for this. I would say this is one of my favorite. The reason this is one of my favorites is definitely, like, 1, 2, and 3 build up to, like, they give you a lot of backstory. Who are the back characters? Like, Sirius Black and Lupin and all these people that are going to come into play. And now we're, like... Voldemort's back. It's almost like you divide Harry Potter into like 1 through 4 and like 5 through 7. It's kind of like there's a shift. Like now, like they're older. It's getting a little bit more darker. It's a little bit more heavier. So this is like the turning point, really.
It's like BV and PV.
Yeah.
Like before Voldemort. And
yeah.
Voldemort.
But it like really is like this is we're gonna basically see like now Voldemort's back. It's like how can we get rid of him? How can we get rid of the people he's working like that are working for him? Like, it's a complete 180 now.
And I'm pretty excited because I don't remember most of the 5, and I didn't read 6 or 7.
Did you see the 5th book?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure that this one was the last... 4 was the last movie I saw because then I became too cool and wanted to play RuneScape all the time. So, this is like...
You think RuneScape is less nerdy than Harry Potter?
Yes.
That makes absolutely no sense. Just saying.
I feel attacked. I know it's not. But anyway, thank you everyone for listening. I think
that's all we had.
All I had too, yeah. Other than don't enter a Triwizard Tournament. Oh, one more thing before I forget. It's really funny because this whole time Voldemort is pissed about Harry's name being in the cup.
Yeah.
And he trusts that Harry didn't put it in. But then there's like no
investigation. Wait, Dumbledore you mean?
What did I say?
Voldemort.
Oh yeah, duh. Oh, the other one. The other great... fantastic, super powerful person. Yeah.
So it's in the book when they're interrogating Barty Crouch Jr. at the end. There's like a couple of pages where he literally details everything he did, and he's like, "I put Harry's name as Mad-Eye Moody." Yeah. So that is.
Yeah, Dumbledore like never investigated. He's just like, "Yep, that's bad."
I think from the movie's perspective, when they find out Barty Crouch Jr. was Mad-Eye, it's assumed that he was the one that did it, but it is actually said in the book.
Oh, yeah. Before we forget, Barty Crouch died. That was like a super one-off scene in the movie.
And that's more investigated in the book, too. They're like, who did it? Why is his body here?
They're like walking in the woods and he's just on the ground. And then it doesn't really come up.
Yeah.
It's
a heavy book. Like, there's a lot. Like, I understand that they wanted to make 2 movies, but I feel like it would have been dragged out.
Yeah. It would have been too slow, I think.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying.
It would have
been good. It would have been a lot of good content, but it would have been...
Like, I don't need to see Winky and, like, all her side stories and everything.
Winky and Stinky?
Yeah. All right, everybody. Next week, we're going to go back to 2007 for the 5th Harry Potter movie, Order of the Phoenix. We'll see you then.
Yeah, enjoy your week, everybody.
Thanks for listening to our show. Make sure to like our Facebook page through our link in the show notes or by searching We Like to Say We're Experts on Facebook. See you next time.